We wonder why Jesus speaks to them only in parables, but you know, life itself is a parable. We have to figure it out, don't we? God doesn't provide all the answers for us. And so this is a good example of thinking for ourselves. When I was young, I lost my sister 41 years ago. And as any of you lost a child or can imagine, it was very devastating. And my mother used to go to the cemetery daily until we finally moved away 8 years later. And after a while, she would bring flowers every week. And she finally got the idea, since we lived in California at that time, that why not grow our own flowers? It would save a lot of money, look pretty, give her something to do. And so we cultivated the whole side of the house. And that, I remember, because I did a lot of the weeding and hoeing and all this stuff, and got it all ready, and it had been growing strawberries, actually. And so we took all that out and put these carnations in and planted them in batches so that they wouldn't all flower at the same time. And I had never seen a carnation growing. I only, you know, you see them when they're full. I really didn't know what they look like, but the package showed different stages of growth and how to water and fertilize. And so we planted them in neat little rows and watered and fertilized, and they came up, and I thought they looked a little odd, but I've never seen a carnation before. And then the first ones began to bud out. And it turned out they weren't carnations at all. They were all weeds. Every last one of them. And somebody had, this sounds like I'm making this up, but I'm not. Somebody had switched something in the bag that we bought, and what was produced was not anything anybody would ever want. And we had cultivated them, let them go to seed. A few of them had gotten out, ruined the whole garden. Of course, we pulled the rest up, but it was too late. The roots, you couldn't get rid of the roots. You know, some of these things, they have a self-protection mechanism. It ruined that whole side of the house. That we were never able to cultivate that side again. Took a big picture and sent it to the seed company, remain nameless since we're taping this. But they sent back a huge packet of seeds, especially in light of why we grew them. But it was too late. We did not know the difference between a weed and a carnation. I bet many of you wouldn't have known either. I think of that quite often. It was a very kind of a poignant thing that one could not forget as one looked at that, the mess that somebody who did something evil, and it was visited upon us. Jesus here gives us some very interesting insights as to why there is evil in the world. Why does God put up with it? Where did it come from? How did it get here? This gospel is very, it would have been very familiar to the audience of Jesus' time. It's another one of these grain or farming analogies. This is how people lived. And this was so common, what this enemy did, that there was a law against it in the Roman Empire with a very severe penalty for doing this because it was so damaging. This fake wheat was called darnel, and it, of course, started as a wild plant, and it would get mixed in with people's crops and would get pulled out. So by self-genetic selection, the only ones that would survive were the ones that looked the most like wheat. So over time, a weed, which was poisonous, developed that looked very much like wheat until it was almost time for harvest. Only then could you tell the difference between the two plants, unless you were right up close. So what you'll notice in the gospel, that God is sowing his good seed. Remember last week, he sows it everywhere, even places where you'd never think it would grow. But he sows by day. So God is light. Everything he does is out in the open. It's always light where God is. The enemy is coming along at night when everyone is asleep. So evil is darkness. And this is one of the things we're meant to see in the gospel. How did the enemy sneak into the field? Because people weren't watching. They were asleep at the switch. If they had only kept watch, he would have never gotten away with it. We too allow evil into our lives when we let our guard down, when we fall asleep. And so the Lord calls us to watch, because there's an enemy that wants to sow those seeds into our hearts. We begin to watch the wrong things on television or hang around the wrong crowd, slip into something that we have given up after many years. These are the seeds that come in while we're asleep. We say things we shouldn't. All these kinds of things. And so the owner sees immediately, the workers don't know where this came from, see, but the owner knows he's got an enemy. He said, an enemy's done this. I should have known better. And they want to, the workers want to go right out and pull them up. They would have to go one by one. Very time-consuming, very costly for the owner. He says, no, we're going to wait. It's already too late. What happens with this grain is that as it grows, it's a self-protection mechanism, you know. The roots entangle themselves with the good stuff. So if you pull one up, the good stuff's going to come up with it. So there was no choice but to wait till harvest. Now, the implications, I think, of this gospel are extremely profound. If you stay on the surface level of a reading, you may never understand the deep message that God is telling us. This is Almighty God from heaven giving us a clue. He says, get a clue. I am not putting up with evil for nothing. The weeds and the wheat, we are not plants. As long as we live, we have the opportunity to become wheat. God sees the sins in our lives. Some people are really choosing not God with everything they have. They don't want him. And God waits with patience, hoping with many of his signs, many of the things he does for them, something will get through before they die so that they too can be saved and be brought into the barn, because the weed is good for nothing except fuel. So we don't want to end up like that. But the weeds might get the impression, if they didn't know any better, that both the weeds and the wheat have the same end, which is eventually to be plowed over. Nothing could be further from the truth. It only appears that they are the same. Appearances are very deceiving. In the end, we will see a great difference in their final outcome between the weed, which gets burned, and the wheat, which goes to the master's house. So the stakes are very high. Now, the weed survives because it hides among the wheat. The weeds cannot be cultivated by a farmer unless it looks like weeds, unless it looks like wheat, and you can't tell the difference right away. This is how evil flourishes in our world. Evil is often unnoticed. It gets in without our realizing that it's so evil. People often get stuck in addictions without realizing how it's going to suck them in later. Like, you know, cigarettes would be a good example of something that you start innocently and then get hooked. You know, some tobacco company got you. That's kind of a minor example, but there are many things like this. Evil is sneaky. Evil is not a thing so much as it's the absence of something. Evil is a corruption of the good. Evil cannot exist unless there is good. In other words, you can't have buildings like we had on September 11th. You can't destroy a building unless somebody created it first. You see, evil creates chaos and destruction and misery. But first there had to be something to destroy. Somebody who murders somebody else, there has to be a victim. Somebody who commits, they gossip or they say something slanderous, there has to be somebody to talk about, who is vulnerable. I can't steal something unless somebody has left it unguarded. I can't break a commandment unless there is one. So evil is a parasite. It causes destruction. It is darkness. It is the absence of light. It is the absence of God. Now, people that live in this world, that live a life that is very evil and think they're getting away with something, they're using the good of the world to their own ends. But they don't realize that all good, the rain, the sun, the beauty, the weeds and the wheat in the back of the church here in the field, it all comes from God. If we reject God, we reject the good that goes along with it. At the end of our lives, God will offer us a choice, and it will be a choice based on the decisions I made throughout my life, for him or against him. Do I want to move in with God? Would I prefer to live life the way I've been living it? If I want a life that's not God, not his commandments, not the way he wants, he's going to give it to me. We are free. He doesn't want us to force us to follow him. And I choose not God. What happens? The wheat are the righteous that go to heaven. They have the darkness within them purified. The world around them is no longer evil in any way. God no longer tolerates the wheat. He only tolerated it for the sake of the good wheat. That's why he lets them get away with what they have, because there is wheat in the world. To save the weeds, if he can, and for the sake of the wheat, he puts up with this, but only for a time. When the weeds are pulled out, then all will be light, and the righteous will shine like the sun. It hasn't happened yet. The weeds, on the other hand, they say, I don't want you, I want my own will, thank you very much. There must be people that will say this. And they will go to what we call hell. Now that will be a place without light, without God, without anything that is good. But there also won't be any commandments to break. No buildings to knock down, no people to murder, nobody to slander, nobody to hurt. God won't permit any more good people to be hurt. So you have this evil within you with nowhere to go, no way to express it, yet it remains. My will, but no good that I've been using to my own advantage and corrupting, and it becomes a fire burning within them. This is why Christ talks about the burning, because the evil consumes the person from within. When you ask God the question, why has this happened to me? Why do you put up with what's going on in the world? Realize that God is being patient and merciful, that there is a purpose to everything. One of the great lessons of this gospel is tolerance. We are called to call a sin a sin in our own lives and others, but we are not called to judge others. That's God's job. At the end of time, he'll be the one to sort the weeds from the wheat. In the meantime, each one of us here is a mixture of weeds and wheat. That's why we have to have mercy on others. Nobody is all wheat in their field. That's heaven. So while we continue to cultivate our own gardens, and there's always a weed to pull up, we remember that God is very merciful. This is the reason why he waits. But there will come a time, and it's not very far away, when there will be a sorting out. And on that day, we will be set in stone forever, the choices that we have made, the weeds and the wheat.